The scripture selected for today's special service is taken from the prophecy of Isaiah, the 43rd chapter, verses 15 through 21. These are God's true and holy words. They can be trusted. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings out chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise, they are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things, or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do not you perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild animals will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, and I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed by myself, so that they might declare my praise. Here ends our reading. Thanks be to God.
Kind of feels like I'm in preaching class because I got this whole set of clergy. It was late September 2014, and I had not yet led worship or preached from this hallowed and well-worn pulpit 10 times. Yet in a sermon carrying the same title that I chose to give today's sermon, Boldly Seeking and Bravely Doing God's New Thing, I wondered out loud. So even though God is clearly at work in each of us and in this community of faith called East Church, in who we are and what we are doing in Christ's name right now, we hear the question, and perhaps God is calling the question for us, of the prophet Isaiah as it was spoken and written centuries ago. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? It was in that same month, September 2014, that our church council prayed with this passage from Isaiah and considered the possibility of a theme that arose out of it to mark and guide and provoke our first year of ministry together. Our moderator at the time, Vicki, and I got the conversation going by proposing boldly seeking and bravely and bold. See, I can't even say it now. Boldly seeking and boldly doing God's new thing. Our council discussion then proceeded to touch on how seeking God and what God's new thing might be for us would indeed be a bold undertaking, especially for those of us a whole lot more comfortable with the doing part of our faith and spirituality than the seeking part. Yes, seeking God and God's new thing is a bold undertaking. American author Annie Dillard, in her work Teaching a Stone to Talk, penned the voice of a church-going Christian when she wrote, quote, "On the whole, I do not find Christians outside the catacombs sufficiently sensible of conditions." Does anyone have the foggiest idea what sort of power we so blithely invoke? Or, as I suspect, does no one believe a word of it? The churches are children playing on the floor with their chemistry sets, mixing up a batch of TNT to kill a Sunday morning. It is madness to wear ladies' straw hats and velvet hats to church. We should all be wearing crash helmets. Ushers should issue life preservers and signal flares. They should lash us to our pews, for the sleeping God may wake someday and take offense. Or the waking God may draw us out to where we may never return. End quote. Yes, seeking God and God's new thing is a bold undertaking. Our church council further considered that night what an important distinction it is to hear that it is God who is doing a new thing. Not us, but God. So how do we discover what God is up to today? Here, right now, and become a part of that. Prayer. Conversation. Brainstorming. Prayer. Dreamstorming. Reading about and exploring the witness and mission of other local congregations and communities. And more prayer. Then our council conversation led us to this place. Boldly seeking is one thing, but boldly doing? Well, boldly doing, really? So after wrestling together with our own very real anxieties around stepping into most anything new, not to mention God's new thing, boldly, it was Christy, who wisely offered this not-so-subtle improvement, boldly seeking and bravely doing God's new thing. It may be too much for us to say we will boldly do God's new thing, and that is okay. That is good self-awareness and puts us in very good company with people of faith, countless characters of Scripture, Jesus' disciples, and one another. But we most certainly can and will, along with so very many past, present, and future disciples on the way of Jesus, in confidence, in trust, in faith, bravely step out into and with God and God's new thing. Self-described black lesbian mother warrior poet Audre Lorde once said, "When I dare to be powerful, to use my strength in the service of my vision, then it becomes less and less important whether I am afraid." Beloved people of God, friends, neighbors, former members and ministers of East Congregational Church, we gather today in gratitude to give thanks to God for all the ways the people called East Church throughout these more than 180 years boldly sought and bravely did God's new thing. And we gather today in gratitude to give thanks to God that every one of our lives of faith is essentially a calling to and a journey of boldly seeking and bravely doing God's new thing. For whether we hear it in the words of the prophet Micah, "Do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God." The voice of Jesus, "Follow me." The letters of the apostle Paul, "So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new." The lyrics of John Bell and Graham Mall of the Iona community. "Will you come and follow me if I but call your name? Will you go where you don't know and never be the same?" Or the poetry of Mary Oliver, including that deeply probing close of her beloved poem, "The Summer Day." "Doesn't everything die at last and too soon? Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life?" Composer of hymns and choral music, Natalie Sleeth's Hymn of Promise, sometimes known by its first line, "In the bulb there is a flower," was written at a time when she was pondering the ideas of life, death, spring and winter, Good Friday and Easter, and the whole reawakening of the world that happens every spring. Inspired by a T.S. Eliot line, her hymn grew from the idea, "In our end is our beginning," the phrase that begins the third stanza of that hymn. So in gratitude to God for every one of the great cloud of witnesses of East Congregational Church, every one of you, the gift of sharing in this ministry in this time and place, I offer the words of that hymn's third stanza. In our end is our beginning, in our time infinity, in our doubt there is believing, in our life eternity, in our death a resurrection, at the last a victory, unrevealed until its season, something God alone can see. Thanks be to God. Amen. And amen.